D&D, man.
Yeah,
who knew that it would just invoke such emotions? Remember. Yep, there it is. Okay, well, where do you want to start?
I just have to know what happened. I guess we'll just start with, like, the last session. I just wanted
to know. Oh my god. Okay. You need a little bit of context to understand why I almost broke two pencils. So.
Not one, specifically.
Because I had to put one down because it was my favorite pencil, and I grabbed one that it didn't matter too much if I broke that pencil. It didn't break either, but I was close. So, like, the whole... Our BBEG is like a group. It's not just like one dude, right? Yeah. It's like a group. It's essentially fantasy Illuminati. They just kind of like exist and they just fuck shit up. So we're trying to stop them. At first it was a job, but then like they killed a buddy of ours. And then we were like, okay, like it's personal. I'm gonna do shit. And we were originally hired by like the head of fantasy FBI, right? So like we're kind of working for the government, but like specifically for our own gain. But at one point he was like, yo, I don't need to hear about your bullshit all the time. I have more important things to do. I'm gonna have you guys like report to this other man, so he'll be in charge of you, because I can't, you're too much. And we were like, that's fine, whatever.
I understand.
And so, you know, like, I get it, it's fine. So we've been working for this man named Tirtarl. We have not called him Tirtarl. We've only called him Tylenol. It has been Tylenol from day one. So we've been working for Tylenol.
Okay.
And we have our sending stones, and he like tells us what to do. And then we're like, okay, cool, got it, bye. And then we like go do the thing. And so our last mission that we've been on, we've been gone for months because it took a lot of things happened, and it cost us to be away for much longer than we expected. But our wizard kept getting these visions that our favorite, adorable, wonderful, adopted NPC that we left is in danger, and her whole family is going to be murdered by said Illuminati group. Okay. So we have been like, every day, we're like, hey, Tylenol, I need you to like, go check on her. And he's like, everything's good. I keep sending guys. It's fine. Like, don't worry about it. We've got it under control. But we don't trust him because he's kind of useless. And we were like, cool. So we finally get our shit done and we get back to Lintenon, this like big city that we have been based out of for so long. And we fucking march our asses up to like the building that has Tylenol's office. And we like flip our badges that we have. And we were like, hey, look, we need to talk to Tylenol like right now. Like, we don't have time. We are stressed. We keep getting these visions. Everything is bad. And the receptionist kind of like looks at us and she was like, I thought somebody would have told you. And we were like, the fuck told us what? And she was like, Tylenol resigned like less than a week after you guys left. And so we're like,
great.
99, I mean, we at this point know for sure, but homeboy was part of said Illuminati group. He just sort of long conned his way into this position. And so he has for months known like our exact locations and like all of the stuff that we
exactly what you were doing. That's who you're reporting to, right?
And nobody fucking told us. And so we were like, no, we literally spoke to him like yesterday. Like, how, what do you mean? And so my poor dear wonderful fighter, like, pushes, just like shoves our wizard like out of the way and like punches the receptionist desk so hard it just cracks. And then she was like, okay, fuck this. And so the wizard and my character like take off, because we were like, we'll just go back to the guy that originally hired us, because he's like head honcho, like,
yeah,
we'll figure shit out. So we take off. Our rogue is like, hey, I just got these letters from my family, I'll catch up with you. And we were like, okay, bye. And so we split. And so then, like, everything was bad. It was like, we found out that we've been betrayed, bad. Everything's going terribly. We dip. Our poor rogue finds out that her father and her oldest brother have been murdered by said Illuminati group. And so then she's, like, handling this. And it was just all bad things.
All bad things. Nothing was good.
Nothing was good. And we haven't resolved anything because we like showed up at the office and then we like told him what happened. We were like, y'all, like we spoke to, there are so many things that have happened. We spoke to God. We fought Illuminati group multiple times. We've saved like, and you just don't know anything. Like none of this has been transferred on to you. And then he was like, okay, hold on. And so we literally, he was like, here's where your favorite NPC is because she's been held in a safe house. Because she got attacked last time we were out. That's why she stayed home. Because we're supposed to fucking, it's fine. And then literally the DM was like, and that's where we'll stop. And I was
nice.
Like, please, I'm gonna die. I can't make it this long.
How often do you guys meet?
I mean, we aim to meet every week. Over the summer, it was a little bit harder because some of us are still in like college. And so then we had like work shifts that got changed around. And so we didn't really get to play a ton through the summer, which super sucked, but we're trying to get like a little bit more consistent now because like this last session and the session before were just like so good that everybody's like super hype and we're really trying to make it work, but it's a little hard. Since one, we all live so far apart that like
time zones
shit just happens. Yeah, it's really rough, but on during good times every week.
That's awesome, man.
Right.
Okay, so how many games do you like, how are you just in one main campaign or are you in like a bunch of different games?
So I mean, that one is like my main campaign. I just started within like a month or two ago. I started another campaign and I made a monk. And I didn't super like her. And I don't know if I just like, I really wanted to make like a character instead of have like a self-insert become character. Mm-hmm. And so then I think I made a character that I ended up just really hating. Oh, and so no. I ended up actually going to the DM and I was like, hey, I don't like this. Can my character just leave? I have other ones. Can I just play one of them? I like them more. And so I think I'm actually going to play Rey once Orb of Arwick is done so that she could live on because I ended up liking her so much.
That is really exciting.
So, but that's it. So just those two. I was in a Monster of the Week campaign for a minute, but the DM ended up having some stuff come up, which was super unfortunate because that game was actually really fun.
Aww.
But yeah,
that sounds
so not
awesome.
A ton, but enough.
Yeah, I just remember when you were posting your characters, and I feel like there was like so many of them, and I was like, whoa.
Yeah, it was a different time for me. Truly, I don't think I can handle that anymore. But
okay, so I've only played like five times in my entire life, five sessions.
And you GM'd? Like, I am so astounded by that because I can't, and I've been playing consistently for almost 2 years, and I mean, stresses me out.
I've ran games plenty.
Oh, okay.
But only for the same group. Like, I've never played online before Arwick. Like,
really?
I mean, yeah, Arwick was my first DM
online
debut.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's and nuts.
And then now I have like 50 things happening.
Oh,
I'm like, I'll just DM everything. It'll be fine.
Oh, Carrie, please don't. Run yourself into the ground.
You should see the list of projects she has.
Oh,
I'm only
no.
doing
one at a time.
One.
Okay.
Right now.
Well, hi, Luna.
No, I mean, I have so many things that I want to do, but I'm definitely, I'm only letting myself do one.
It's a matter of just doing one at a time and not 12.
You cannot eat the ravioli.
Yeah. I'm so excited for Deadlands, though.
Yeah, so I keep seeing tweets about it. It looks so fun. Are you just gonna record it like you did Arwick, or you think you'll stream?
I'm gonna record it, and I'm gonna try. I'm not uploading the first episode until January.
Okay, so you'll have time.
Yeah, like I want, because I've got like 20 two players.
How right now. Are you gonna do that?
Well, there's...
Oh, boy. Yeah. That's stressful.
Like, yeah, when your character dies, you just hang up.
That's metal as fuck. Oh, my God. That's genius. That's gonna be so fun.
I'm so excited for it. I just learned this system.
Yeah.
Like, just
it's
now.
It's new. Yeah. It's brand
new. Like, a week ago.
I'm excited to watch that one. That'll be super sweet.
I'm super excited to watch it come together.
Yeah.
Every day she comes home and she's like, and then what if this person and this and like this backstory?
I have only started like consistently playing within the last like year and a half, 2 years. And so even then, like, I don't know. I really want to learn like how to DM or GM, but it seems so like, it seems so much. Like there's just so many things you have to like know and then keep track of. And it sounds very difficult. So I always applaud people that like DM more than any games. It's always so astounding.
Some people are just super comfortable being a player, and that's not me. That's not me at all. Like, I have fun when I'm playing, but at the same time, I'm like glad when it's over. I'm like, okay, that was a good session, but like,
I stepped out of my comfort zone a little bit. I'm gonna bring it back in.
Exactly. Like, and I feel like I've conditioned myself to be a DM and not speak. Like, when people are in a group planning, I'm silent and I will not say what I'm thinking. And then I'm like, oh wait, I could have contributed to that plan. I'm playing. Like, whoops.
Yeah.
It's just not where I'm comfortable.
Yeah,
that's
you've
for
been
sure.
The forever DM for like 6 years now.
Yeah.
You can't break that habit super easily.
And it's so cool to run games for new people and like people that I don't know what they're going to do, because I played the same home group for 6 years, basically, and I know them. It's like, I don't even have to be prepared for multiple scenarios because I'm just going to know which one they are going to pick. And I'm like, yeah, I bet they'll go this way. Do they? Oh, yes, they definitely do.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, so it's nice, like, playing with people where I'm like, I have no fucking idea what they're gonna do. Yeah. I have no clue.
Opens up a whole world of possibilities.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
That's fun. Our DM is also the forever DM, but he also likes it. But it's less of... It's more of... I think he gets bored of playing the same character. And so he'll be like... He told me that when he was playing, after a while, he'd be like, okay, been doing this one for a while. How quickly can I kill this character so I can make a new one and play that one? And so he was like, I'll just DM. I'll just be everybody. It makes it easier.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, we had a player. He was actually my friend's brother. And so he was like, hey, you want to play? And he's like, sure. And so he made a character and he joined. He has played 4 characters in 2 campaigns. Like... I can't keep track of him. I'm like, oh, whatever your name is, I don't know. I'm tired of controlling your characters when you leave. Please, stop.
Oh my god.
So that's you said wild. You said you have like your favorite NPC or whatever. Do you guys hoard NPCs like my group does, or do you just...
I'd say there's a little bit of a healthy balance, because for a while we didn't. We just, like, we saved this girl, like, session one, and then, like, sort of jokingly, but also, like, kind of not jokingly, like, paid off her family and was like, hey, if she wants to come with us and you, like, don't want to let her go because you have a small farm that needs, like, here's some money, and she can just come with us. And so we sort of bought her, but we, like, didn't really buy her. And so she has traveled. She is technically, like, actually part of the party. Like,
okay.
We consider her one of the party members. But then we had our first, like, BBEG fight, and she got hit really hard. And so then she ended up living with her, like, kind of, her family had just moved in because they're living on the outskirts of the country, and there's a lot of, like, skirmishes happening right now. And so they ended up just getting put into a safe house. And then like characters from my backstory started showing up. And so then they would like travel with us, but it was always sort of like intermittently. Mm-hmm. So like sometimes Ronan and Lucas would be with us. And then like Chris was with us. And so it was just like, it's sort of, but we also like kind of give them some curtain time. Also, so our DM doesn't have to play so many people at once.
Yeah.
Yeah, your players hoard them.
Oh no.
Yeah, I'll make an NPC and they'll be like, this person's really useful, they should come with us. And I'm like, shit.
They were back to not.
Yeah.
Like, I wrote this monk named Ashlyn. I wrote her in on like episode one, session one. She was like the owner of this fighting arena.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, and she had a super badass intro. Like, it was obvious she was an important character. And they actually didn't collect her at that time. They left.
Back later, okay.
They left, and they ended up having to do some sort of quest that brought them back there. Like, they went back there multiple times. And finally, she was just supposed to give them information on one of the players' backstories because they... So one of my players was like, I grew up basically like in this slave camp and had to fight my way out. And my mother was there and blah, blah, blah. So then I was like, okay, how am I going to work this in? And I was like, all right, well, Ashlyn, this arena used to be a slave camp. Okay. So I'm like, okay, maybe she's got some information. So she was just supposed to give him some info on the slave camp, or what she knew of it. And then they were like, well, you want this guy dead too, don't you?
Oh.
And I was like, okay, well, yeah, she does. Obviously. She really does. So
yeah.
All right. And then, so she was traveling with them and we did like 53 side quests before we went on to that one, and she was just kind of like adopted into the party, and I'm like, this is not how this was supposed to happen. And that happened with about 12 more NPCs, so.
I mean, how do you do it? Seth.
I forgot about Seth.
How do you forget about Seth?
Oh, now I have to know who Seth is. Wait, hold on.
So at the very end, we just went from the beginning to the campaign to the very end. The very end of the campaign, like, the last arc right before the big boss battle, like, a lot of real life drama happened, and then I only had one player towards the end. Yeah, so.
That's rough.
Yeah, the last, you know, the final arc of the story, I had one player, and I was like, okay, just don't die.
Please. Oh, sweet baby.
And he went to hell.
Not on. Computer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And in one of the rooms, he found an animated skeleton that was friendly. And his name was Seth. He wasn't supposed to make it out of there. He was just supposed to be a funny encounter. And Nathan looks at me and he goes, I put him in the bag of holding. And I was like, okay.
No. You can't give D&D players a, like, funny skeleton man and not expect anyone to be like, yeah, I'll pass.
He was so useless, though, like.
But they're funny! Like, it's so good.
He took him out to help him in a fight.
Oh, no.
In hell, still. He, like, dumped him out, and Seth gets dumped out, grabs onto his sword. He rolls a natural 20 to attack and does 2 points of damage.
He really do be hitting, though. Really, the hit was really secure.
And then he got hit, and his bones scattered into, like, a million pieces. And Nathan, he finished the fight, and then he's like, I want to collect Seth. And I was like, yes. I was like, you want to do what? So I had him roll, and he got, like, 98% of Seth. And he's like, that's good enough. And he left. And when he got out of hell, he put Seth back together and put, like, a tankard in place of, like, his foot. And his spine was, like, a little shorter than it should have been. Oh, it was wonderful. Still alive. He made it. He made it through all the whole thing. Yeah.
Survived.
Seth survived, yeah.
Yeah, he survived the boss fight and, like, was in the epilogue after.
Well, technically, he didn't survive the boss fight. No. He was just put together again after.
Yeah. But he made it. He was in, like, the post-campaign story. Yeah. Mm-hmm. May he live in infamy.
Yeah.
Seth.
Yeah. He was so useless. There was no reason to hoard him.
He was so useless. Oh, man.
Bold of you to assume that it's just useless, like, how useful an NPC is that makes care, like, people want to be like, this is my child's now. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so fun.
Well, see, my advice for players that want to hoard NPCs is, like, okay, but prepare for them to die. Like, prepare for them to die. You want them around you? What are you doing? You're getting into
all sorts of nonsense.
Yeah. Like, the amount of NPCs that they loved that died on the final fight.
Ouch.
It was quite a few.
It was a lot. It was a lot.
Really good thing it was only one player to be sad.
Yeah, I guess that's fair, huh? There was only one person to really feel the consequences of those actions.
Yeah. And he didn't join until, like, halfway through the campaign, so he wasn't even there for, like, the beginning of it. So it was interesting for him to be there at, like, the very end of it.
Yeah, but not at the beginning. That is interesting. How many character sheets did you just have to, like,
towards the end
stack?
Towards the end, I didn't even use them.
No?
Mm-mm. No. I just...
You're like, sure, they can do that.
Yeah.
You're like, this is the thing that this character can do. I've decided it.
Yeah.
All right, they got hit quite a bit. They're down.
Yeah. Like, I keep track of hit points. Basically, like, I would level up the NPCs with the players.
Okay.
So...
I mean, if they're traveling with them,
I would take,
it makes sense.
Like, a base HP from the normal players, not the barbarian. And base hit points from that, and that's just kind of what I would write down for that combat or that day. Like, I'm not very strict with my NPCs or with anything for that matter, but
mood.
I'm like, oh yeah, she got hit by two dragon breath attacks. She's down. She's pretty hurt right now.
That makes sense.
It just drove me crazy trying to actually keep track of everybody. I was like, I can't. I just can't do it.
That's way too much.
A lot of times.
I don't think I could.
Since I had so many NPCs and they would all be in, like, one fight together, what I would do is I would almost, like, write their turn in combat cinematically.
Ah.
As I'm writing it, I would roll to see, like, what the outcome is, so that it's still not, like, it's still random.
Right.
Like, the dice still decided, but I'm not sitting there rolling damage for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
As my 12 NPCs, yeah.
It's too much. Do you have, I'm curious if this is another thing that other campaigns have, but do you have, like, a favorite, like, combat moment? I feel like a lot of people have favorite RP moments. I haven't heard a ton of people talk about combat moments. I'm intrigued.
I have a few. I'm sure my players' answers will be different, but there is one. I guess it's kind of a cheating answer because it was the end of combat, so it was like a finishing move.
But still, like, combat. So yeah, I get you.
So the end of this slave camp storyline. They found the guy that was behind it all, they thought. And
it was dirty. Ouch.
They found him underneath the castle, and so as I discuss with D&D or anything in general, I don't really like to kill my players if I can help it. Like, a natural one. There are so many worse things that can happen than a death.
Okay, I'm afraid now, but okay.
So, one of the adopted NPCs, who was also, like, kind of becoming a love interest of one of the characters, but, like, they hadn't crossed that line yet.
Right.
She was with them.
Okay.
And this enemy did, I think it was disintegrate towards one of the players. And he rolled a natural one.
Okay.
So there was this moment where he was like, I'm dead. And I was like, no, you're not. Because she dove in the way.
No!
Yeah.
So brutal.
And just disintegrated right there. And this enemy only had like 10 hit points left.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was going on to the next person's turn. And whenever people roll the same number in initiative, I let them choose. I'm like, you can either take turn, like go, one of you go first, or you can both go at the same time.
Oh, okay.
And so the next people were the two barbarians. And I was like, you don't even have to roll to attack. Just tell me what you want to do. Like, they just saw her disintegrated, like, right in front of them. And they both just turned and, like, each of them grabbed onto one of his arms and, like, shoved him up against the wall and literally just ripped him apart.
Oh, good!
Yeah.
As is deserved.
Yeah, and then it was just silent, like, in-game and out-of-game. Everybody was just sitting there, like, what do we say at that point?
Oh my god.
I can't tell you how many sessions I've had where the session ends and everybody gets up and leaves and doesn't say anything to each other.
Yup.
And I'm like,
yup.
Are we good? Or okay.
Are you gonna be back next time? Is this it? Are we done?
Are we breaking up?
Oh my god. I love in-game and out-of-game silence moments. They're always so good. D&D, man.
Yeah,
Who knew it would just invoke such emotions?
What's your favorite combat moment?
I mean, I have, like, a good, like, cinematic moment, kind of like you said, where, like, my character, like, nat 20'd a great attack, and she's got this cool flaming sword, and her, one of her friends from her backstory has this sweet ice sword, and
ooh,
he was immediately after her, and so she, like, swings down, and on the down, he, like, launches off of her back with the ice, and so this dragonborn can switch the color of its scales.
Ooh.
But it couldn't switch it fast enough between fire resistance and ice. And so that was just like sweet, sweet, like need an artist to draw that moment. But I think like the best is our first BBG fight. So our beloved NPC is like a warlock sorcerer multi-class.
Okay.
Or cleric sorcerer multi-class. Something. I bet I'm wrong. And then I'm going to send this video whenever it gets put up, if it gets put up, and my DM's going to be like, hey, you dumbass. Something along those lines. But we had split up right before this. And so we are getting our asses handed to us by this necromancer. We have 2 out of 3 party members down. And our DM had planned for like this NPC to return at like X combat round. We all went down the combat round right before that.
Oh.
And so she just like showed up and was able to like revive 2 of us. And so we didn't die, or I think we might have died. And so that's like one of my favorites.
That is awesome.
Just because it worked out so well. Good shit, man.
Oh man. So when I wanted to play D&D, but we didn't know how, like,
right.
Way, you know, back in the day when I'm like, well, we need to buy books. Like, how do we learn how to play? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So we just kind of really, really, really homebrewed a zombie apocalypse.
Ooh. Okay.
Campaign. And I think it only went on for like 1.5 years, but we played like every day. Like, there was not a day of the week that we did not at least play a little bit. So realistically, it probably would have stretched out. If I only played once a week, it probably would have been like 3 years.
A long ass.
Easy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you said you played so much with Time Sunset.
Yeah. Yeah, do your campaigns have names?
Yeah, actually. Well, sort. The one that I just joined, I don't know if it has a name. I've just been calling it the Discord name. I'm like, yeah, it's that. It's Discord campaign, like, whatever. The one that is our podcast, it obviously has the podcast name, but it was originally called the Sariant campaign. But we just stopped calling it that once we decided it was Of Dice and Men. But also, that's too many words. So it's just, oh, damn, and that's it. It's the Oh, Damn campaign, and we just sort of move on.
Oh, damn.
Oh, damn.
Fair.
So, yes. And also, no, because I guess this other campaign is still kind of a baby campaign. So I don't know if it'll get a name. It probably will at some point, but not right now.
Yeah.
So. You have to. How are you supposed to keep them like apart? How are you supposed to know which one you're talking about when you're in too many?
Dying Sunset was such a crazy experience because it wasn't D&D. We rolled a D20. We had bonuses. Like, it was a basic like D20 system more or less, but we didn't have like, you know, feats or anything like that. We played as people, like I said, choose your background. Like, one person was a police officer, one person was a college kid.
Oh,
like,
interesting.
Just regular, everyday people.
Just that, like,
happened to be at the same grocery store when the zombie apocalypse broke out. Yeah.
That's cool. That's super cool. You should also just publish Dying Sunsets is what you should do. That's what I'm hearing.
Maybe.
You could.
Why not?
That's super interesting. I don't get to see a lot of, like, I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm still consider myself really new to, like, the TTRPG space. But I feel like there's a lot less, or at least I see a lot less of, like, modernized RPGs like this. So that's super interesting.
Yeah, I sent a text to a bunch of people, and I was like, we'd sort of discussed it previously, but not like a serious, like, yeah, let's do it. And then I sent a text and was like, all I would need is your name and your occupation.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all I need. Nothing else is relevant, like, at all. And then I was like, give me a couple hobbies too. Say somebody's really good at, now I can't think of a single example.
Cooking?
Sure, yeah. Then their survival skills might be a little higher, just because, like, we have the D&D character sheet, is the thing.
Right.
We're like, I don't know what this means.
I don't know what
any of this is. So we just kind of made it up as we went along, and it was so awesome. And we had so many fantastic RP moments, which was weird to think about because we were so new.
Right.
Like, talking about in-game and out-of-game silences. Like, oh man. Okay, so.
Yes.
I feel like I know which story
you're gonna stories.
Tell.
So, So they get to this town. I have to give you a little background before getting into this. They get to this town and they see this red wolf symbol painted on the side of a building.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, from a distance, it just looked like blood spatter, like, up the building, so they didn't think anything of it. When they got closer, they saw it was, like, a symbol actually painted out in red paint. And they went in, and the whole building was looted. Some people were dead. They just got the vibes that, like, they're not good people.
Mm-hmm.
And the second building that they found with that symbol, they found someone living in there. And so that person's basically like, you gotta get out of here. Like, you're not in the right place. You need to go. Like, this is not somewhere you want to be. And then the wolves come in. And it's basically like this just gang of survivors led by this woman who happens to be my favorite villain I have ever written in my entire life. Her name's Madison. And before the outbreak, she was like a martial arts instructor.
Okay.
So very hand to hand, but I'm very, very clear that she has this sawed off shotgun just on her hip. And we didn't really know entirely how guns would work either. So we just kind of made our own stats to them. And I was like, okay, but here's the thing with a shotgun. If you're up close, you're just dead.
Very clear.
So they know they don't want to fuck with that shotgun. Like, they just don't. They're like, okay. Like, my players like to be big-headed dude bros. So, like, they're like, oh, no. Try to fuck with us, blah, blah, blah. But Madison comes in with this shotgun, and they're like, oh, okay. Yes, ma'am.
My bad.
So they end up leaving. They get out of that situation just fine. Madison leaves. Later on, she ends up finding them again, and she's like, listen, like, you guys are capable enough. Why don't you join us? And they're like, we don't really want to do that. Like, you don't really seem like the best of people. And we're still trying to keep, like, humanity, you know, a little bit. They're like, you're just killing people that don't give you what you want. And, like, that's not what we want to do. And then she ended up basically, like, giving them an ultimatum. And they had somewhat of a little fight, got away, and they just hauled ass out of town. And they were like, okay, well, we left that issue behind.
Okay, I'm assuming they did not.
They did not. I'm assuming they did not. No, their whole plan was, they were basically like, I gave them a real map of the United States. Like, I was like, here you go.
Oh, okay, cool.
Here's your map.
Yeah.
And I had them each mark the places their backstories took place, like where they grew up, where this happened. I had them do that beforehand. So once this all started, they wanted to get to the coast and sail overseas somewhere. They're like, maybe it only broke out here. So that was their plan. And as they were traveling across, they were going to stop at each person's house, basically, to see if they could find any survivors of, like, their family.
Yeah.
And we get to character Mark's house. And as they pull up into the driveway, and there's a red wolf symbol painted on the door.
Okay.
And he just immediately, like, stops the truck and just gets out and starts walking towards the house. And I had this very, very loved NPC named Cassidy. And she was also a badass. Her and Madison were a lot alike. They just didn't want to see that. Like, a lot alike, but that's beside the point.
I pretend I do not.
Duh.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they, she was just following, like, immediately. And everybody ran up. They had a couple of the younger people stay back at the car. And they had one that was good with, like, a sniper stay at the car too. And he was just kind of looking through the scope to see if he could see anything. And they get to the house, and they go in, and they all just start, they scatter to check rooms. They're looking in all these different rooms. I ask him where he wants to look first, and he's like, the kitchen. So he turns into the kitchen. I have Cassidy go down the hallway. And as he turns to start going down the hallway, she had opened the bedroom door and then just shut it. And he was like, what? And she just looked at him and just shook her head. And he walked over to open the door, and he went to, like, push it open, and she slammed it shut again, and she was like, don't. And this is a player I just met, like, a week ago. Like, we don't know each other at all. Staring into each other's eyes, like, one of the best silences I've ever had at my table. And then someone's phone goes, do you know the way?
all during D&D, right? Man.
Oh man, we all jumped like it scared everybody. We were all like, sure. And then we were laughing for like 20 minutes. Had to get back in, but as soon as we did, we just got right back into it. Like, we were like, okay, anyway.
Back to the moment.
Yeah, that was... Oh, man. One of my favorite moments, for sure. And then, do you know the way? I'm like, damn it.
Oh, my God. That's so good. I always feel like the dynamic between, like, in-person groups and online groups are so different because, like, we don't even play with our cams on, and so there's no way to, like, there's no way for us to have that moment.
Right.
But one day, we'll fly everybody somewhere, and then we'll be able to play. But that's so cool.
I don't think I could play without being able to see the reactions. Like, I have said this multiple times, probably. You are one of my favorite types of players.
Me?
Yes.
Because you can read my face.
You're so expressive. Like, when something happens and you go, I'm like, yes, that is what I was looking for. Thank you. Like,
I feel like there were so many good moments in Orb of Arwen where I was like, wait, hold on.
It was so great to watch you.
Like, yeah. Thane was a lot like that too. Like,
I can see that.
Yeah, yeah. Thane was very much so like that. We had in our Arkhaven campaign, they had fought this town of vampires. They left. It had been like probably 4 sessions later. They were in this other town that was famous for this vampire. A long time ago that they slayed, like they just sold vampire merch basically because like, oh, we got rid of the vampires here.
Town,
pretty much, yeah. And so they walked in and they're like, oh, cool, cool. Like vampire stuff. We fought vampires. And they're like, oh, that's great. And then they were like, what, where did you get your stakes? Or something like that. And they were like, we didn't have stakes. And they were like, oh, well, a stake through the heart in the coffin is the only way to kill a vampire. And Thane goes, we need to go back. Like his face just dropped color and he was like,
you can just tell. Oh, that's so funny.
We need to go back.
Right now.
He's like, how much for these? I'll buy them.
Oh, that's fun. Ugh. I know. I wish we could have that, but for a long time it was not. Everyone had like a webcam that worked super well. And then at this point, it's like we've been playing this way for like 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes
sense.
No
one cares anymore, which kind of sucks sometimes.
I mean, I was just always in person, so I need that like visual.
That's what you learned.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, that's fair. The other one that I'm probably going to bring Ray back for, we have been using webcams, which is fun. But also really hard for somebody who, I have ADHD, so like sometimes focusing is really difficult. And the guy that plays like our lizard folk fighter also has a dog. And he plays
like
a dog, and he'll like throw the toy, and then he'll like get up, and because his headphones are wireless, so he'll just leave.
And you're like, "Where are you going?
What are you doing over there? Hello?
I want to come with."
Yeah. So, pros and cons.
I'm so excited for Arwen Part 2.
Me too. I am also very excited. I don't even know, like. I don't know what's gonna happen. I'm so excited.
She's like, I know.
I'm so keeper ready. Of secrets. God damn.
It's a lot of responsibility, though.
That's fair.
You're like,
our DM likes to give secrets to all of the other. So, like, the other two players know stuff about my character that the DM has planned, and I know stuff about. I can't, because in case Jamie or Colin, I will fucking find you. But. I don't know. So we do that, which causes a lot of like almost inner party tension where I'm like, I know where this thing is that you have been looking for like months, but I cannot tell you.
That's super cool.
It's pretty fun.
I love doing that. I mean, I did that with Arwick.
Yeah.
I was like, here you go, here you go, here you go. What worked out so well about Arwick, though, is like most of the secrets I wanted to give, I already had written out. Like, I just had basic secrets. Like, one person wants to destroy it. One person wants it for themselves. One person wants
it destroyed.
I already said that.
Oh, did you?
Destroyed was the first one. It was
destroyed, keep for sale.
Was it return?
Actually give to the museum.
Yeah.
And
then
one was working for Zoller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that was
the self one. What was the other one?
It was
knows that it's not
for that it's museum. Not for right. Yeah. Knows yeah. It's like actual origins.
Yeah. And so I just already knew those base things, and then everybody's characters that they were giving me was perfect. Like like Cam was like, I want to work at the museum, and I was like, okay,
fucking
perfect,
right?
I know exactly which one.
There's yeah. a secret you don't even know it's a secret now.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of my favorite parts. Was
she come home every day and she's like, the backstories are working out, it's just perfect,
everybody's giving me their characters and it's absolutely fantastic.
Oh my god, that was so much fun. Also, like, when we were watching it again, I, like, realizing now that, like, when Rey spoke to Cobalt's character, who I'm spacing on their name.
Rika.
She was speaking to her in Elvish, I think, and now I'm like, she wasn't an elf.
She didn't speak, that's why she just walked away.
Damn it.
That's
I get it now. Yeah. I was like, oh, she's just trying.
No.
No.
So dumb.
No. So I actually had a combat encounter planned in Arwick. It just didn't feel right. So I just skipped it.
No.
Yeah, it was right before you guys found the body. Right before you like moved through that tunnel to find the body, I was gonna do like cloakers.
Ooh.
Yeah, but it just.
We were all so like in
driven.
A weird like RP moment too, because like we had like the two in the front and the two in the back. Everyone had just like sort of revealed a little bit. Mm-hmm. Rey got a bunch of feathers. Like everyone was just kind of like having a good old time.
Yeah, it was like, we don't need the cloakers.
No. We'll just let him move on.
And then I was scared. I was like, okay, but they're playing a one-shot and no combat is going to happen.
Yeah, nope. There could
unless
have potentially
they
been PvP at
like,
the end.
Yeah.
But and then all of like, us were like,
who knows what happened?
I kind of like you guys. So I don't want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I loved it. I loved it so much. I loved the moment too. There was like a 10-second standoff where I was like, is one of them going to sling a spell? Like,
I was fighting with myself. I was like, I have Misty Step. Like, I could just, like, fucking, like, I could just take it and then just, like, do what I need to. But I don't want to, man. It was really rough.
Yeah, I love, there was 10 seconds where everybody was just kind of looking at each other. And I was like,
are we
going to do it? I don't know.
What are we doing?
It was full just everyone trying to figure out what the fuck was going on. Like,
yeah,
I don't know what to think about anyone right now. Yeah. No, that was fun.
I loved Sage like putting it all together and being like, so you were lying about this, you were lying about this, you were lying about this. Okay, so I am also lying.
Yeah. Oh my god. No, it was fun. Also the like puzzle room that came before was also very fun, because I was so used to playing Mara, who would just be like, let's just fucking stand on it and we'll just see what happens. Like, she's so one mind. And
yeah.
So I had to be like, okay,
critical thinking here.
I can't do that with my sweet baby Rey. Like the barbecue sauce. Sweet baby Rey's barbecue sauce. Sorry. Oh my god, there's possibilities here that could be delved into. Anyways, but I don't
know. I'm so glad I was here for the birth of that.
That's our new backstory in this other campaign. Is she's the creator of Sweet Baby Ray's barbecue sauce, but she's like a traveling salesman.
There you go.
Perfect. I know, but that was super fun too, because I was like, as a player, I was like, I'm pretty sure I know like how this is gonna shake out. Like, I think I've got a pretty good idea of like what's going on here. But I had to be like, but Ray doesn't want to die, so we're not gonna do that. We're just gonna take it slow. We're gonna try some things out. Which was really fun. And the moment when all of us like were like, transportation magic! Oh yeah. My god! That was super fun. I loved that.
Yeah. See, that's just something that like I wouldn't have seen that click if we didn't have cameras, and man, it was so good.
That was so good. It was so simultaneous too. It was perfect. I loved that. No, I am super excited. I'm just excited to see, like, I'm excited to see everyone's characters again.
It was such a good group. I'm so bad at one-shots.
One-shots are hard, because sometimes it's like, it feels like there should be more, but also, like, it's supposed to be just one go, and so it's supposed to end. I don't know, yeah. I have the same thing.
Like,
one-shots are difficult.
My Shard of Destruction one, I did one and done. Like, We did it. We told the story, that was the end, and it's fine. But like, with Arwick, I just loved you all so much, and I was like, oh man.
And also, like, we didn't do the ending you'd planned for either, so we were like, nah.
Yeah, she's like, it's fine, it'll be a one-shot, someone will probably turn on.
I was like, they'll either turn on each other, at least one person will get what they want, like, and that'll be the end, you know, that'll be closure, and I'm like, no,
that did not happen.
No, it didn't.
And I love it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was fun. Sure. Like, the mechanics are... Did you see that?
Wow.
We never get lightning here, and so that scared the shit out of me, and my lights flickered. Did that go through on your head? Oh my god.
I don't know if I saw the lights flicker, but I know I saw the lightning outside.
It dimmed for a second. I didn't appreciate it. Sorry. I think I was saying something.
So I have a couple of players that have played Savage Worlds before, but none of them have ever played Deadlands. So, yeah.
That'll be fun.
I'm excited. I've had quite a few people be like, I don't really know how to play, and I'm all confident. Like, don't worry, it's my job to know how to play. And I'm like, I don't know how to play.
It's like, we need to practice.
I'm like, don't worry, I got you. Like, you'll be fine. Oh my god!
I don't know how to play!
I feel bad too, because I feel like I have so many stories, but I feel like you've heard them like 50 times
apiece. I've already heard them 50 times apiece.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
She really likes to live in the past.
Me too. Same.
Like, she goes and opens her journal of notes and she's like, that session.
Same
session.
I'm not alone.
Literally.
And I'm like, you read that session to me 2 weeks ago.
You're like, I already know everything that happens, but thank you.
Or that one, anyways. I was on FaceTime with you when that one happened and I heard it.
Yeah, like, I lived that one. Oh my
that
god.
That session I was in.
Yeah,
we
I have
recently started sort of sharing notes between, but it won't be like combat notes. It'll be like, this thing happened and I didn't know how my character was going to react, so I like flushed some stuff out.
Okay.
And the wizard was telling us, I have to, hold on. This line was metal as fuck and I like really want to read it to you. Colin, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I have to. Let's see. Where did it go? Ah. So it was like after do you remember on Twitter when I was telling you about that time the DM killed my character's sister for the second time?
Yes.
So it was right after that. And so he kind of goes through and he's talking about how his whole purpose for so long was like to like absolve almost like his sins, like he was trying to find like repentance for a thing that he physically wouldn't live long enough to feel like he'd done enough, right? And how like friendship is very foreign to him because he's like not really like from this material plane. He's from a different one. And so he like talks about the rogue and he talks about how like she's like really undisciplined and she doesn't focus, but like she's been easier. Like he's gotten to know her a little better and all this stuff. And then he talks about my character and he says, Mara is dependable and appears to be as selfless as this character that died a while ago. She knows how and where to direct emotions and I respect her greatly. She does what needs to be done but is not needlessly ruthless. Her past speaks to much guilt like mine. If I ever reveal my past, it will be to her first. She will understand guilt.
Damn.
He read it to me over like text and I was like, or like over call and I was like, no, no, like I need that in writing. I need to brush it down on the internet and give it to me. And so that's fun. And so we started doing that, like on top of just like regular notes, doing like little character blurbs.
That's awesome.
Highly recommend.
Yeah.
Highest recommendations.
I just have like my notebook. I'll keep track of hit points and I'll just make little notes like, oh, they sent a note to so-and-so and it said this. Just so I remember for my DM notes for next time.
Right.
Like, but I'll also write like something funny that was said or something good that was said. Like
the best of quotes.
Yeah, pretty much. Like the funniest quotes.
Yes.
One of the most hated locations of my campaign was the Plugay Jungle.
Okay.
Which was renamed by my players as the Plugage Dump.
Yep. Okay. There it is.
Yeah.
Give me some good quotes.
Yeah, I was opening this to try to find the Arwick page. Because there were
Is that the one you sent me a Snapchat of?
Yes, yes.
Some good ones.
Here we go. Like, I don't even write this many pages of notes on a session, like, of
there
my
were so
home
many
game.
Quotes.
There were so many quotes. I am not fast, for I have tiny legs.
Oh,
the so professor,
good.
Man.
So good.
I just forgot go. I also can fly. I value my belongings, so I'll use my life instead.
Oh, just like gold. It was just gold after gold.
The words come out, the almonds stay in.
Forgot about that.
Given the brevity of the situation, I am also lying.
That was good.
All lies. It's layer two. It's like an onion. Now that we've all decided to trust each other, it feels like a trip to the tropics.
Oh, yeah. So many good ones.
Well,
thanks for letting me just like blip my D&D stuff.
Yeah, I will always listen to D&D stories literally like any time, ever.
It's so fun.
It is so
true.
Fun.
And then you have inspiration. You can like take it and you can kind of like boop in your own stuff. It's so nice.
I feel like we could probably do this like 12 more times and
still have stories to tell. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I'm gonna just keep rambling forever, so you should probably just go get food.
Okay. Well, it was good to talk to you all.
Yeah. Yes.
I will keep in contact.
Perfect.
Have a good rest of your night.
You too.
See you guys.
See ya.